Welcome to Career Tours. This week, LinkedIn quarterly updates. The questions this cast answers are, what do I need to do to manage my LinkedIn account? Why do I need to manage my LinkedIn contacts? And how often do I need to manage my LinkedIn account?
Folks, thankfully, we've been able to get our Minneapolis in-person training scheduled for May 11th and 12th. We did have to move it just because of various protocols and so on, but I will be in Minneapolis, a great city, by the way, on May 11th and 12th. On May 11th, I'll be doing the EMC. On May 12th, I'll be doing the ECC. I hope to meet you and shake your hand or whatever it is we do nowadays and learn about your career. So come and see me, Minneapolis, May 11th and 12th. And you do that by coming to the website and signing up. See you there.
Kate, I think for you, for all of us, LinkedIn has become the de facto place that we manage our professional contacts. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little bit cautious because we did the MySpace cast when MySpace felt like it was the de facto thing. And then Facebook came along. But LinkedIn's been around and is big enough that I feel like it's not going away now. Mm-hmm. And it's a great platform, and you know, so many people find it useful in so many ways of finding out about their contacts, about building their network, about finding news about companies and interesting articles and all sorts of things. And there's a downside of everything that's a free resource that's provided by a company, which is somewhere along the line they're making money, mm-hmm. and sometimes that's not in your best interest. One of the ways it's not in your best interest is you have a bunch of information on there and it could go tomorrow. You know, mm-hmm. it could be accidentally deleted. They could turn off your account for no reason. They could decide they're not going to be in a certain country. While they control your data, it's at risk. So one of the things we're going to talk about is getting that data back, or at least having a copy of it, mm-hmm. as well as some of the terms and conditions, which you might not have realized. And for some people, you might want to change them.
Good. We're going to cover three topics. We're going to talk about downloading your LinkedIn contact list quarterly, reviewing your settings, and updating your contact management system.
Yeah. So download your LinkedIn contact list quarterly. I bet most people don't know you can download it for a start.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, I think that's a pretty, I don't know that anyone really thinks of it. I always think of it because we talked so much in the past about like having your contact list when you travel printed in case your phone dies or you're stuck somewhere, you have to use someone else's phone. And so I always think about hard copies, but I don't think most people realize that you can download, you can print, and that's really helpful. I guess it's also in our, when you're changing jobs guidance, mm-hmm. right? Like making sure you have all your stuff printed in case you need it in the future. And that's where you're keeping it. Like any place where it's online in someone else's system, you're at risk of losing it just in case. And what if it's the only place you have that person's phone number or their email or something like that? So you shouldn't rely on it to be your contact management system.
No. Why rely on someone? It just scares me to even think about it. So what we're going to tell you is to download the information and print it. So you have an offline, uncorruptible version that you can use. So I'm going to give you some, we are going to give you some instructions through this cast, which are the instructions for how to use LinkedIn the day I wrote this cast, which was, I don't know, a month ago in 2020. Some of the details may change, but in general, the way that you access stuff doesn't change. So even if it's 10 years from now, hopefully you'll be able to work this out enough for it still to be useful.
Yeah, and if not, you can always just Google it.
Yes, Google knows everything.
Yes.
So to download your information, you go to LinkedIn, you click on Me, which is your little picture, and then on Settings and Privacy. And then that page opens with how LinkedIn uses your data. And just underneath it, it says, get a copy of your data. And you just click on it. It's super easy. Mm-hmm. And there's two options. You can download everything or you can download just parts of it. And we recommend that you choose everything at least the first time so that you understand the breadth of what's available and what you might want to keep going forward.
So LinkedIn will send you, when you download the data, LinkedIn will send you the data in a number of spreadsheets. One of them contains your contacts, which will give you the first and last name of each of the contacts, their email, if they gave LinkedIn permission to share it, their company position, and the date that you connected to them. And some listeners are going to think that downloading and printing the spreadsheet is really Luddite. I don't disagree with that assessment. However, we know this is January 2021. In the last 2 months, all of the biggest websites by traffic have had downtime. Google, Zoom, Slack, YouTube, Facebook, Amazon, Wikipedia. Sometimes it's only 10 minutes. And it could be that LinkedIn is down at that moment where you need to get someone's contact details. It's like Murphy's Law. Like, I need this. It's almost like when the printer doesn't work.
It is. The printer never works when you left it till the last minute before the meeting to print the agenda.
So true. Having the data downloaded and printed is a surefire way to ensure that you have this never corruptible, you know, always available version of the data and the information. It's just a backup.
It's like insurance. You pay it and you never use it. And you always think, why do I pay my insurance? Like, why do I have to pay it? I never use it. And then, you know, I have always had AppleCare on everything I've ever bought. Mm-hmm. And I've never dropped anything. Never. And so the last time I bought an iPad, I didn't get AppleCare because I don't drop them. And 2 days, I'd had it 2 days and I dropped it. And my house has tile.
Oh, no.
And it smashed to pieces. So that this is the same thing, right? You think you'll never need it. You'll never need it. And then the moment that you need it, you don't have it.
So. Right. The other thing is that LinkedIn has every right to delete or modify the data that it holds about you, even though you think it's yours. It's really your account on their platform. And they can do anything they like with it. They could suspend it. They could delete the account. There's numerous accounts of ordinary people having their accounts suspended or deleted for breaking rules they didn't know existed or even that weren't broken at all. LinkedIn's size makes it vulnerable to hackers. And who knows what you're, I mean, that's an entirely other thing.
Yeah.
Who knows what will happen if somebody with malicious intent gets a hold of it? Not that all hackers have malicious intent. And it could be, I mean, that's, we've seen a lot of data breaches in the last few months as well. I just was logging, what did I log into? I logged into Etsy the other day, and it said Apple told me that my password had been part of a data breach.
Yeah.
Which there's my credit card is probably saved somewhere in there.
For sure. All of your information and your emails and
my address. So we're not Luddites or alarmists, just realists. And having your data somewhere where you control it is smart. Another final reason, if you need any more reasons for downloading the data, is that LinkedIn search is terrible, and searching a spreadsheet or an alphabetized printout is easier than finding the right person on LinkedIn half the time. It's just hard to find things, hard to find people.
I don't know why it's so bad. Yeah. So the next part is review your settings, and it's quite long. We're going to go through a lot of detail. We had two people test these instructions to see how long they took, because we said that you should do this quarterly. And if it takes, you know, hours, we don't want you to do it quarterly. But the first time round, each of the people took less than 30 minutes. So even though it's going to take us a long time to describe this stuff and it's going to sound like a lot, it actually doesn't take that long when you do it. And the first time might take, you know, coming up for 30 minutes, but the next time will only take 10. So
awesome.
Just warning you. So it takes, if you choose all of the, having all of the data downloaded, which is what we recommended, it takes LinkedIn right now 24 hours to send you that data. I don't know why. So while you're waiting, we can review the settings on LinkedIn. Many of them are turned on by default, even though they're not necessarily what you might want. And they start, when we start listing them, you're going to say, well, that's pretty benign. Like, okay, whatever. What's the trouble? But the more troublesome ones are buried fairly far down. So keep listening.
So account preferences. The first few settings under account preferences or profile information are obvious. Your name, location, language, video preferences. Then those options get more specific. You're going to see feed preferences. LinkedIn turns on follow for anyone that you're connected with. That's what populates the news feed that you see when you first log in. If there's people there that are posting junk, offensive content or who you just don't want to hear from, unfollow them. If the content is truly negative, you might disconnect yourself from them entirely. As we'll show shortly, LinkedIn uses your connections and behavior and shows that to other people, even outside the platform. So they use, you know, what you do in the platform to communicate with other people, and you don't want to be seen connected to something that is objectionable. You could also be following non-contacts, such as companies or hashtags. Make sure to review those and decide whether that information is still relevant and unfollow anything that's no longer helpful.
It depends on how many contacts you have, but that follow page can be a really long list of lots of people, and it's quite hard to separate. You know, they're not alphabetized, they're not in order of when you connected or anything. So if you have got a lot of contacts, and going on that page and looking at people to decide if you want to unfollow them is too many or too difficult. If you go back to the first page and look at your newsfeed, you can unfollow people from their posts on your newsfeed. So if you see a post that you don't like for whatever reason, you can unfollow them there. But every time you connect to someone, LinkedIn automatically makes you follow them, which kind of makes sense from, you know, what the platform is supposed to do. But, you know, some people post every hour on the hour, and that's all you've got in your newsfeed. That's probably not what you need. And while you're doing this, you can also think, is there any other companies, you know, maybe you're not following your own company, which you probably should be, or maybe you're not following a company that you might be interested in, or the one that your spouse works at, or something. So you can look and see, is there anybody else that I might be interested in that you can follow?
Mm-hmm. LinkedIn group preferences aren't housed here, but back on your main profile. So you might want to review the groups that you're a part of too. It is kind of off to the side. It's a little odd that the group thing is so separate.
Yeah.
So make sure you check on your group preferences. Some of those groups, I found a lot of my groups are like defunct now. So I had to go back and do a good scrub on those. Many people ask us how to disguise the fact that they're looking for a new role when LinkedIn broadcasts their activity. The good news is this quarterly cleanup is one way to have consistent activity such that your job search activity is not so visible. So we're basically logging in, creating some activity and data that's going to kind of make that less obvious, right?
Yeah, if you do it every quarter, then it's much less noticeable. You know, somebody's not going to say, oh, you haven't touched LinkedIn for 2 years, and all of a sudden, you know, they're just going to be suspicious.
Absolutely. Next is your calendar and contacts. If you're getting information about your contacts, or you suddenly got a lot of new contacts, or you have information about your contacts in your calendar, it may be coming from LinkedIn. So if you don't find that helpful, you might want to turn it off here as well.
And remember, LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft. So if you have Outlook, the LinkedIn will connect with Outlook, perhaps not without your knowledge, but you'll notice stuff in Outlook that's coming from LinkedIn because Microsoft are making it as a service to you, but it may be getting in your way.
Mm-hmm. Also, partners and services. Your LinkedIn account can be connected to other services. Make sure to check that those are the ones that you want to share information with LinkedIn. For example, you may not want LinkedIn sharing information with a personal email address, or vice versa, something like that. So make sure you check those as well, which takes us to account access.
Yeah, so account access, the first section is email addresses, and this is where you can see which of your email addresses are connected to LinkedIn. And it's really easy to have clicked yes to some question at some stage and then find that you have multiple email addresses, including ones you don't want to share with LinkedIn. I found this when I logged on. I had like 5 email addresses on LinkedIn, 2 of which I don't use anymore, and 2 of which I probably didn't want on LinkedIn. So it's easy to have said yes and then find it connected when you weren't aware that that's what you were doing. Mm-hmm. The next part is also where you're signed in. So this shows you all of the computers or locations where you are signed into your LinkedIn account. And it's good security practice just to make sure that none of the only place you're logged in is the location you're sitting in. And so you know that you're controlling it. And when I did this, I had 12 different instances of LinkedIn logged in, and I only have 4 devices that access the internet.
Yeah, that's not
so
good.
I don't know who those other people were, but I disconnected all of them.
Good. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was scary. in one way of who are all these, where is all this stuff, right? Because you only get an IP address, so mm-hmm. you can't tell. But I knew which one was me right now, and I could disconnect all of the others.
Good. Also, that kind of applies to devices that remember your password, right?
Mm-hmm.
Best practice is not to allow devices to remember your password, because if they can, bad actors can access your account. If you can't remember your passwords, use a manager, a password manager, like 1Password or LastPass. 1Password is magical as far as I'm concerned. But having your passwords saved on a device is less secure, as is not having two-step verification, two-factor authentication turned on. So if you find that that's turned off in your account, you might want to turn it on because it's safer.
Yes. And like 1Password will handle that for you, so you don't have the whole annoyance of two-step verification, which does my head in.
Yeah, it's really tough. When it first came about, I had to wear like a key on my badge that mm-hmm. like cycled. It was tough.
Because they only last 30 seconds. You got to type really quickly.
I get so stressed out in the seconds between when my two-factor authentication number is like I'm aware of it. And until I type it, I get so stressed. It feels like, oh, I don't know. It's like I used to go to this gym and they used to say, what's longer, a microwave minute or like a workout minute? Mm-hmm. And honestly, I feel like the longest 30 seconds is something like the microwave, and the shortest is the two-factor authentication.
Definitely.
I get so stressed out.
That's for sure. Okay, so now we get to some of the things that are a little less benign, I think. So the first bit is visibility. So this, the first section is profile viewing options. So when you search for someone on LinkedIn and view their profile, they are informed that you searched for them. So for some people, that's okay. But maybe you're searching a hiring manager for a job that you're thinking about applying for. You don't want that person particularly to know that you searched for them, you know. Now, you can see your own information, i.e. who is searching for you under who viewed your profile, which is on the front page when you log in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can decide how much people are told. The downside is if you say people can't know that I'm searching, you don't get any information about who is searching for you. So depending on your circumstances, you may want to leave that on or off. You just need to be aware it happens. And I don't think most people are.
Yeah, I don't think most people know. I didn't know that until we started talking about this cast. So, So next is story viewing options, which I also didn't know about before we started talking about this cast. This is the same as profile viewing, except it's for stories, because you can post LinkedIn stories now, which I didn't even know was possible or even happening. But it's definitely something to think about what you want your settings to be.
Do you want someone to know that you read it? And it's benign in the sense that, you know, okay, so I read an article. Do I want the person who wrote it to know that? And, I don't know. I just feel like I'd rather do it anonymously.
Yeah, and I think it really depends on your preference, right? It depends on your circumstances, I guess. Circumstances is a better word than preferences. Although some people do have a preference around anonymous usage. Yeah. Totally fine.
Anonymity.
Yes.
Okay, so the next one is public profile and profile visibility off LinkedIn. And these settings control how much of your profile is visible away from the LinkedIn platform. So if you do a Google search of someone, sometimes you get their LinkedIn profile link as part of the search results on Google, and then there'll be some information underneath. And it could be their company or the recommendations for them. It's a whole bunch of information that you think is only available on the LinkedIn platform and is actually being shared with the entirety of anything that wants to search it.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the groups you belong to, the recommendations you've made for different people, and all of your contacts. In other words, somebody can Google search you, find out who you are connected to without even going to LinkedIn, without leaving the Google search page. And for some people, that's a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would be shocked that that happens.
Yes. Although someone made fun of me for this a couple of years ago, but I have this recurring thing in my calendar every 6 months to Google myself and just be sure that it's all valid. which is how I know mine doesn't show up, thankfully. But or maybe it's on like the third page because I only go to the second page. But. Okay, then next is email connections and last name. You can choose who can see your email address on LinkedIn. Since emails on public platforms like LinkedIn may be a source of spam, you may want to turn this off. The same is true of your connections and your last name. Depending on your role and security risk profile, you may want to turn that off. You should also review the settings under Manage Who Can Discover Your Profile from your email address and phone number if you're getting unwanted communications, if you're getting internal LinkedIn spam, I suppose. Mm. That's what I would call it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't want people, your email out in the wild, then that's one place to turn it off.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is representing your organization, which is so, everyone's like, what? I read it. I was like, what could that mean? Basically, it means that LinkedIn can put your picture and your profile next to an article or something in a different place on the platform for the company that you work for. So if there's an article that says your company has done a terrible thing, they can put your profile next to it as if you have something to do with it and you could have nothing to do with whatever happened. I mean, the same's true of good things too, but I don't think I want my, I mean, I work for Manager Tools. Nothing bad's ever going to happen. But in previous jobs, I'm not sure that I would want LinkedIn to be posting my profile and my picture all over the place where I don't know where it is and I don't know what it's next to.
Yeah, I would not feel comfortable with that. But then I think my mindset has changed in the last couple of years just about what I consider safe to be on the internet. Maybe that's just, I know exactly what it is. It's coming of age in a time when Facebook was cool and new and then becoming an adult. And a professional.
It's like all things. They start great. And then we see the downsides. And then you have to decide, do I want to keep the greatness or do I want to get rid of the downsides?
For sure. Manage active status. There is a flag on your profile that shows whether or not you're on a LinkedIn page, kind of like an instant message system or like the Slack green bubble. You can turn this off to ensure that your visits are private. And a reminder that if you turn it off because you're accessing LinkedIn at work, your organization's network is still monitoring the pages that you visit. So turning it off doesn't ensure like internal corporate privacy, complete privacy, because it's still visible to the internal network. Then there's share job changes, education changes, and work anniversaries from profile. You may have noticed that your newsfeed includes things like Joe Blogs is having a work anniversary. Again, this is turned on by default. If you'd rather not broadcast the information to your network, you can turn it off here. It's so funny because this is the things I see so often on LinkedIn, or I get notes from people, congratulations on your, which it is sometimes kind of nice. And these are all your own choices. This is your data. It's your information. You get to choose. Mm-hmm. Next is notify connections that you're in the news, which broadcasts to your network when you're mentioned in an article or blog post. Not your company, but you. Again, depending on the role and your security profile, you might want to turn this off. And then this one kills me, mentioned by others. It's funny because it's kind of like tagging someone, right? Mm-hmm. You're basically choosing whether other people can link to your profile in their writing and posting on the platform. So if you want to allow people to tag you or not,
yeah,
manage that there.
Make it easy to find you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last one is followers. So you can choose who can follow you and see your public updates. So again, a lot of this stuff it's good for some people and bad for some people, and it's your choice. And it depends so much on what you do and what stage of career you're in and what your risks are and what your security profile is. My problem with it is most people don't know any of this stuff exists. I want you to make a good choice for you. Whichever choice that is, but I want you to make a conscious choice, not, oh, LinkedIn just did it for me kind of thing.
Absolutely. We just want to educate you on what's happening.
Folks, we've made a change to how we deliver training to clients these days, and you should know if you're somebody who could potentially purchase some client training or if you're an individual Now, if you attend client training that we deliver virtually, you'll get a personal license. Previously, we had you got access to roadmap, but you didn't get an access to a license. We've since discovered that there's so much demand for a license and all that goes with it that we decided we would include it. And so we hope you'll be able to come to some client training if you haven't been to a public conference and your company chooses to engage with us, and then you'll get a personal license and all that that entails. Hope to see you.
Okay, next up, communications.
Yeah, so notifications. The communications section is where you choose what notifications you get from LinkedIn and your contacts. It includes information about conversations, your help forum posts and cases, job activities, hiring insights, information about your network, including your network's groups, events, anniversaries, and birthdays, the news, endorsements, and views of your profile. Any or all of these can be received via the LinkedIn website, the app, your email, and pop-ups on your device. If LinkedIn is always bugging you, this is where you stop that. And all of these, by the way, are turned on by default.
Which, so, if you have Google... How many times do you need to be told about a contact in your network's birthday?
Yeah.
If it's your mom, a lot, but that you shouldn't be relying on LinkedIn for that, right?
Yeah. You know what's so funny is I think everyone uses Facebook for that now. That's where I keep my list of birthdays. The ones that are outside my calendar, I guess. But okay. Yeah. Hopefully that we're not looking to LinkedIn to do that. Also, because if you use Gmail at all of my LinkedIn notifications go to my Gmail, and Gmail puts it in like socials or something. Mm-hmm. So I never see them. Like, I don't ever look at them. So next is who can reach you. I mean, this feels intense to me. By default, anyone on the platform, including Nigerian princes, can ask to connect with you. There are some people who signify their willingness to connect with the acronym LION, which is LinkedIn Open Networker. These are often salespeople, recruiters, who are salespeople. And we encourage you to have a wide network, but we also encourage you to be judicious about connecting. For some, such as the Lions, it's beneficial to allow anyone at all to be able to connect. For most of us, we want to connect only with people we have an actual relationship with or with whom we are interested in developing a relationship. So it's not only people that can ask to be connected with you. Pages, events, newsletters can also connect with you. Obviously, those are actual people, and the contact comes in the form of a page, event, or newsletter. It's just something to think about.
It's like the difference between having your phone number in the phone book that anybody can look up and being what we would call X directory, meaning your phone number is not in the phone book.
Yeah.
You know, for some people, I want my phone number in the phone book because I want people to be able to find me. For other people, being X directory is what they want. They only want the people that they know they've given their number to be able to call them. And again, it depends on your risk profile. But again, not knowing that this is how it's set up, that the way LinkedIn by default sets it up is that anyone can contact you, and then wondering, why am I getting messages from Nigerian princes who, you know, want to give me money? this is why. And you can stop it.
Yeah.
And there's who can message you and send you research invites. And it's the same as the who can reach you category. The default on the account is to let anybody connect with you or send you invites for research purposes. If you don't want this, turn it off. And tucked in this section, slightly sneakily, I think, is allow LinkedIn partners to show you sponsored messages. In other words, ads. So if you don't want ads on LinkedIn, turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Then there's messaging experience, which include read receipts and typing indicators, which are incredibly useful in instant messaging or when communication is urgent. But it's really unlikely that you're using LinkedIn for this type of communication, so we recommend turning it off. Remember that this setting doesn't dictate whether you receive read receipts, only that the system sends them when you read a message.
And if you turn off read receipts, you don't get any either. So it's like the other one where you have to give in order to receive, mm-hmm. which I think
tricky as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now we're to some of the big ones. Data privacy. How LinkedIn uses your data. So this is where you can manage the data that you've provided to LinkedIn. And the Manage Your Data and Activity section hides the Connected Apps section. So if you have either knowingly or unknowingly connected another app to LinkedIn, this is where you can see that and decide whether or not to remove them. And this is another place where I found a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't remember doing that I had done some time ago. And I was, hold on. Even if past me wanted to do this, present me doesn't. So I turned them all off.
Awesome. Okay. Under social, economic, and workplace research, it's hidden the choice whether to allow LinkedIn to share your data with trusted third-party partners. Again, turned on by default.
Trusted by LinkedIn, not trusted by you.
Yeah. Thanks for making that choice for me. This is turned on by default, and the shared data is not de-identified. In other words, giving LinkedIn permission here allows them to share your name, email address, along with any other data they know or have gleaned about you from third parties. That's a tricky one too.
That's big.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I mean, I feel okay about de-identified data. Like, okay, you can do research, you know, in the aggregate on me, but identify like stuff that has my name and email address against it, I don't think you should be able to share that without my permission. And certainly not by turning the default by turning it on and not specifically telling me that that's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Job seeking preferences. So here you can save what information LinkedIn saves about you, such as your gender, age, and race, when you make a job application. It also allows you to dictate whether an employer is shown your whole profile when you apply for a job. And I'm not going to make a blanket, we're not going to make a blanket recommendation that you turn this off, because if you're applying for jobs, you don't want to have to enter that data again and again and again if you're making a lot of applications. And sometimes you might want a potential employer to be able to see your LinkedIn profile, your whole LinkedIn profile, if they want to look at it as an adjunct to your resume, you know, that fills in some more information.
Yeah, for sure.
Or it might be that you want recruiters to know you're looking for a new role so that they can contact you. And again, the problem we have with this is LinkedIn has made a bunch of choices for you, and most people are completely unaware of what those choices are. So if it's saving race and gender, age information about you, are you okay with it having that information? Remembering they can share it with your name and email address with their third parties.
And we don't even know who their third parties are.
Yeah. So we recommend that you review the choices. You review the section and make a choice based on your own circumstances, but make an informed choice.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Other applications. There are more options here for connections with other applications. And even if you don't permit sharing in the data and activity section, sharing can be, and probably is, turned on in the specific job seeking preferences or other application sections. So ensuring that you've completely expressed your wishes means checking here too. Again, just while you're in there, go for it.
Exactly. And you would think, oh, I've said don't share my data, and then the job search bit is different. And you think that, well, I don't know. I would like it for them to understand that that's what I want and carry it all the way through, and it's in their interest not to, so they don't.
Sure.
So under advertising data, we have advertising preferences. So LinkedIn shows you ads if you allow it. And if you allow it, they will personalize them. So it includes your profile and your name. So it says, Wendy, wouldn't you like to buy this? Whatever. And it derives your interest for ads from your profile actions that you've taken on LinkedIn, but also Bing, because Microsoft owns Bing and Microsoft owns LinkedIn. So they're sharing data between their subsidiaries, as it were. And actions by similar members. In other words, if they know your age, your sex, your location, how much you earn, what kind of job you have, they put you in a group with people like you. And whatever those people do in aggregate, they will assume that you do too, or you want to do too. So they'll show ads based on that group.
That's got to be why I'm getting ads for Priuses and laundry detergent, neither of which I need. At all.
Exactly.
Like, people in my age bracket need Priuses and laundry detergent. I'm good.
If only you could tell LinkedIn.
If anyone's listening to my data. Well, like Hulu, same deal. There's an assessment there, and Hulu thinks I want to buy things that I have no interest in. And they have some of my data. Just use it to send me different ads.
I get freaked out when I've done something for Mark and I've been researching something like some golf thing. And then later on, I'm on my laptop and I'm doing something personal and I suddenly get an ad for golf. It's like my work life invaded my personal life in a creepy way.
Right? You know, Hulu's the one that bugs me because they have so many commercials and I get these commercials and I think to myself, don't you guys have enough data on me to know that this isn't what something I'm going to buy?
Right.
Don't you know? Don't you know just enough not to pitch me diapers?
Just not do this.
Yeah. Use a little more of my data, but I want LinkedIn to use a little less. So data connected on LinkedIn. This is a long list of further possible sources of data that LinkedIn might be collecting and using to personalize your ads. It could include location, demographics, companies you follow. The advertising preferences section above that we talked about, right, does not turn off all of these. As far as LinkedIn is concerned, these are separate questions. Interesting. Which means that if you want to stop LinkedIn using your information for ads, you have to turn off all of these as well. This also includes information from visits to other websites, including on other devices, whether or not you're logged into LinkedIn. Whoa, as one of the options. In other words, LinkedIn can use the information from your phone, even if you're not logged into LinkedIn, to tailor what you see on LinkedIn. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's freaky. I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, it's so funny because we talk more about data and privacy, I think, than most of the people I interact with on a social, you know, plane. And so I said something about data privacy the other day to somebody, and they kind of made a comment as if they didn't trust that there was actually a problem. Those last three sentences I just said, to me, I'm like, this is a problem for me, just for me. It's just...
Yeah. And I think the people who say, there's no problem at all, don't know that this is the extent to which
you've
signed up for something.
Right. You have no idea knowledge. What they know about you and who they're giving it to.
I'm not going to remember this wrong, but I read something, I think it said that if you read the Apple terms and conditions, it would take you 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know that it was five, but it was a long time. And note here. None of these kind of account options are specific to LinkedIn, right? All of the accounts on all of the platforms have similar options and are collecting and sharing data in similar ways. Facebook and Google and practically anywhere you go, even manager tools. We collect data when you come to the website, whether you're logged in, where you are, what kind of account you have. I promise, keep it safe and we don't sell it to anybody. We would never share it with anybody. But every website is doing this. So we're not bashing LinkedIn for doing this. They're just doing what everybody else says. And as Andrew Lewis said, if you're not paying for it, you're not the customer, you're the product.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the internet works. All the things we get for free are paid for from our data and from our information and our content. And we're deciding that's a fair exchange. And that's okay if we decide it's a fair exchange. What we want you to do, as I keep saying, is make an informed choice based on knowing what the exchange is.
Exactly. Okay, so next is use the contact list to update your contact management system. After you've gone through all these options and you've received, 24 hours later, the data that LinkedIn is going to send you, you're going to get a number of spreadsheets from them, including a contacts list. Print the list. And then in addition, you can use electronic contact management system. Whatever you decide, you need to have a way to manage your contacts, which is not reliant on your company system or platforms like LinkedIn, something internal. And I would recommend both an electronic and a printed for those people who maybe even in your contact management system, you can select like a list of people that you need printed. You don't have to print every single person. And, you know, some phone numbers you will need, and you'll need them printed. Updating your contact information isn't enough, though. We want you to think about using the information. Has anyone moved companies or changed jobs, relocated? Do they have some other change going on? Use this as a reason to reach out and reconnect. If you're not, by the way, as a side note, if you're not using COVID as an excuse to reconnect, you're totally missing a massive networking opportunity. There is no reason not to reach out to everyone on your list right now and say, hey, so glad 2020 is over. Hope you're okay. How are things? Like, perfect.
Yeah, because people are always saying, what do I say? Well, there's a really good example. Say that.
Or yeah.
If COVID, when you listen to this, is a history lesson, then use your context changes in LinkedIn as a reason to reach out. And yes. We hope that COVID is a history lesson soon.
Oh, so soon, hopefully. Many times when we tell people to contact their network regularly, they just don't do it. That's the other thing. Like, what do we say? Yes. Okay. But they also don't do it. COVID, all these things, even things like getting a new job, stuff that LinkedIn holds the information about, will give you another perfect opportunity. So if COVID's a history lesson, you can also use job changes, you know, anything where you can see that they've had a shift. It's an opportunity. Building relationships require actions, not just being connected on the platform. LinkedIn is your address book, not your network. And you have to think through, an address book is a repository of information. It's not doing any
relationships.
Yeah, it's not doing anything for you. Your network is in the relationships, which are human to human connections created by frequent interactions. So connecting with someone on LinkedIn is not building your network. It's about the actions you take.
We don't often comment on specific technology, having been burned by the MySpace cast. But LinkedIn is such a single point of professional network communication at the moment, and probably for the next long while, that it's important you understand it and that you use it well. And it's an object lesson in what we really sign up for when we say, yes, I've read the terms and conditions, and nobody ever does. So none of this is exceptional. None of this is different. LinkedIn isn't doing anything different to any other website, but we want you to make an informed choice about what they have on you. And we also want to make sure that your data is in your hands in a way that's not corruptible and will never go away. Maybe if you're clumsy like me, you want to make two printouts so you don't cover one with coffee, because that's the way that printouts are corruptible. But have your data in your hands, even if it's on LinkedIn too. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.